Springbok 9:30 dossier. Every day at this time, we bring you dramatized stories of excitement, romance, and suspense from the files of interesting and fascinating people.
We present The Veil of Darkness, a story of violence and intrigue by Ron Evans. It was 2 a.m. when Violetta woke me. Into my brain came the instant question.
It is time to get ready, Paul.
Cosette!
I have just woken him.
Oh.
I put the muzzle of my gun into his ear. It worked.
Oh, that's cruel.
But effective. Here is some chocolate and a cup of water.
Thanks. You know something? Mm. You'll make me an excellent wife. Well, as long as you don't wake me up with a gun to my ear.
Oh, that will depend on you, my darling. I have given water and chocolate to Cosette.
Good. And do you feel a bit better about him?
Only a little. Sometimes I wish he would try to run away, just so I can hunt him down.
Well, he could have run away during the night, but he didn't. It proves that he's sincere about wanting to help us.
I have told you about my people. They can change their loyalties by the hour.
Mm-hmm. And you?
No, Paul. I am like a little bird happily trapped in a golden cage. Open the door, and I will cry.
The door is welded shut. Well, back to reality. How long will it take us from here to the foot of the pass?
If the column has reached the end, about 7 hours.
That makes it about 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
We made good time.
It is quicker traveling downhill.
Right. Well, let's get on our way then. Cosette, are you ready?
Yes, and wide awake.
Don't complain. At least Violetta didn't squeeze the trigger. By the time day broke, we were clear of the flatter land above the pass and had begun to descend steep, treacherous slopes. Even when the sun rose, its rays never touched us. Already we were into the region where the sun never shone. The long column of SKPs had reached the end of the pass just before darkness the previous evening. They had settled for the night, but by 6 a.m, everyone was awake and waiting for orders. They looked out at the soaring bare rock walls on 3 sides and wondered how there could possibly be a way out of this awful place. They felt like goldfish stranded in the bottom of a gigantic fishbowl. The field kitchen soon began doling out breakfast, which went a long way to relieving anxiety. Major Ramsden took his meal with Colonel Horton.
You know, Ramsden, I think it would be a good idea to send some men out to look for a way up, instead of being wholly dependent on Lieutenant Sale's return.
Mm, I've already done that, sir.
Oh, jolly good. I feel positively trapped here.
Yes, it is a bit unnerving.
You know, I've travelled around a lot, Ramsden, but never have I seen a place so dreary as this. One could get bloody claustrophobia here.
On the march here, I scanned the sides of the pass very closely. If there is a way up, it's very well hidden and damn tough going, too. And that French chap, Leroux, he claims to be something of a mountaineer. He says there's no way we can climb those sheer cliffs. They must be all of 600 feet to the top.
Mm. Yeah, very depressing. More coffee, Ramsden?
Oh, thanks. I'll help myself, sir.
Damn nuisance being out of sugar. Actually, I'm looking forward to getting back to Italy and a decent pot of tea in the officer's mess.
Oh, I've forgotten what it tastes like, sir.
Ah, yes, yes. You've ordered Saunders back?
Oh, they should be on their way back now, sir.
Good. He can build a good position half a mile back down the pass.
Yes, I saw an excellent spot, no more than 8 yards wide.
I remember it. Yes, he can dig in there until everyone is out of the pass. Had any news from him yet?
Well, Dimitri and his chaps had a running fight with the SS yesterday afternoon. They lost 6 men. But the Germans pulled up short of the barricades Sergeant Ryan's men had built.
Those damned Russians. Seem to be doing a splendid job, I must admit. Don't give a damn about anything except walloping Nazis. Can't say I blame them, and I'm darned if I'll stop them. Sanders has done well, too. Surprising, considering he's really an Air Force man. And an American, to boot.
Now, from what I hear, it's really Sergeant Ryan who's running the show. Sanders is really a figurehead.
Yes, probably. A real mixture he has there. Aussies, New Zealanders, South Africans, Canadians, Indians, Russians and Americans. Boggles the mind how he keeps them in order. After this, I'll most certainly recommend him for a decoration. A fine fellow, in spite of being an Irishman. Oh, sorry, old chap. Got a bit of Irish in you yourself, eh?
My father, Colonel.
Oh, good, good. Well, we're all British together, aren't we, old chap? As long as we give the old Nazis and those Japanese upstarts a good walloping, that's all that matters. Well, Major, shall we go on our tour of inspection?
Right, sir. Oh, I think Lady Agnes was hovering around in the hope of seeing you.
She is? I see. Yes. Well, on second thoughts, I think perhaps another pot of coffee would be in order.
Violetta's sense of timing was good. It was a little after 9 when we scrambled down a steep cleft in the rocks, bringing down with us a shower of debris, and stood firmly on the floor of the pass. A few yards away stood 3 soldiers, their weapons aimed at us. One of them, Corporal Baker, recognized me and escorted us into the encampment. Leaving Violetta to be fussed over by Lady Agnes, Cozat and I reported to Colonel Horden, who was still drinking coffee with Major Ramsden.
By Jove, I'm damn glad to see you back, Sale. How was it? And what are you doing with this fellow? I thought we'd sent him to his masters.
Well, it was pretty heavy going, sir.
Did you find the way out?
Thanks to Cozat, yes.
And your little lady friend?
We were searching for the way through when we saw 3 German soldiers there. Cozat was their prisoner.
Strange twist of fortune for you. What, Cozat?
They were forcing me to show them the way over, and they were going to kill me.
Just 3 of them, you say?
There's a passage which runs under the side of the mountain. They were going to blow it up, which, well, that would have trapped us all in the pass.
I see. Sounds pretty serious to me. Major Scheer and his whole bloody battalion could outflank us by going over the top of the pass. Then, if Cozat and 3 of his pals can do it, well, it's all rather alarming.
Yes, sir.
It is true there is a way, Colonel, but it is a very difficult route. From what I could understand, Major Scheer wants to keep you trapped here and starve you into surrendering.
What do you think, Major Ramsden?
I think we should start moving out as soon as possible.
Yes, I agree. What happened to these Germans?
We killed 2, sir, but I'm afraid 1 escaped. He didn't hang around, so I think he's making his way back to report to Major Scheer.
Cozat, how long would it take him to send troops to intercept us?
If Sergeant Fritsch returned late today, 3 days, or 4, perhaps 4.
And how long do you think it will take us to the other side, Sale?
Oh, there are a host of problems, sir. I'd say 4 or 5 days at least.
Then we'd better pray that our Major Scheer doesn't act immediately.
I think we must work on the assumption that he does.
Of course, Major. Will you get everyone ready to leave?
With the greatest haste, Colonel.
And better send a man along to Captain Sanders and tell him to fall back and follow us up. Sale, about this place where we climb up from the pass.
Yes, sir?
Where is it? Ramsden and I looked for it when we passed yesterday, and all we saw was sheer cliff face.
Well, it's about 1/2 mile back, sir. A cleft in the rock wall. We'll need ropes if we're to get everyone up to the top. We'll need ropes to cross the ravine later on, sir.
Yes, so I hear. Well, Major Ramsden tells me we have plenty of rope, so that is not a problem. A damned pity you couldn't have gone after this German sergeant and stopped him, though.
Violetta tried to catch him, sir.
Can't leave things like that to a woman, Lieutenant.
Actually, the implications of his escape didn't strike me until later. far too late for us to start searching.
Pretty remiss of you.
You have to see the kind of country we were in to fully appreciate the problem, sir. It's a maze of rocks, everyone looking like the next.
And this young woman couldn't find the exit, eh?
We were looking when we bumped into Kozat and his escort. She would have found it eventually, but Kozat took us directly there and saved us a lot of time.
Why do you believe you were going to be shot, Kozat?
As I tried to escape, but they caught me.
And why did you try to escape?
I wanted to come here and warn you.
But you're on their side, Kozat.
Not now. I came with Lieutenant because I want to help you.
Is that correct, Sale?
Yes, sir.
You seem uncertain.
Well, at first he was worried about his wife and children, sir. And then we thought up an idea where he could be of considerable assistance to us. Something only Kozat can do.
What is it?
By doing it, sir, he will require our protection, both from the Germans and his own people when the war is over.
What happens after the war has nothing to do with me.
We could help, sir.
Where is all this leading?
I suggested we could take him with us to Italy, sir. I think he could be useful to Allied intelligence. When he returns to Yugoslavia, it'll be known he was on our side.
By Jove, that's asking a lot. The man's a traitor to his own kind, a pretty rotten type, you know.
He won't be rotten if he gets us out of a fix, sir.
What fix?
If Major Shear comes down the pass and finds we've left, he could send a signal to his headquarters. And just in case Shear can't catch up with us, they're likely to send a force to intercept us on the coastal plain.
Yes, that is true.
Kozat is still trusted by the Wehrmacht. By using the radio, he can fool the Germans into thinking we're still trapped in the pass.
Yes, there's something in that.
They will believe me.
The problem is, the Germans will send out patrols to see where we are. Major Shear will know within hours that we have left.
I know for certain that Major Shear is not in radio contact with his headquarters. His transmitting equipment was destroyed in an air attack.
When the Panzers paid their brief visit, it's likely they supplied him with one.
No, the Panzers left before I did. And I know for certain he still has no radio. If he finds out you have left the pass, it would take him 3 days to get a message to his headquarters.
By which time, we could be almost over the pass. But wait. If Shear can't contact his HQ, then why would the Germans send a force to intercept us anyway?
Is it not possible they will send troops to intercept you if they are uncertain of the position? The Germans are not people to leave things to chance.
Yes, and a call from you will assure them that all is well.
Yes, Colonel.
Well, it can't do any harm, but the radio can't be used until we reach higher ground.
Kozat will be able to call them up by tonight, sir.
Apart from this, Kozat, what possible use could you be to Allied intelligence?
I know by heart the present displacement of German forces in Yugoslavia and Hungary. I'm in possession of many codes. For instance, I know the 9th Panzer Regiment has been ordered to the Italian front.
I say, they're the blighters who were stationed at Dubrovnik, aren't they?
They will be leaving in a few days.
All right, Kozat. I'll take you to Italy.
And make it known that I am working for the Allies?
Yes, yes. I don't think you'll have any trouble when you come back to Yugoslavia.
Good.
In fact, I'm rather glad you're with us. If Major Shear tries to chase us up from the pass, he could run into a lot of difficulty without a guide.
By the time I left Colonel Horton, the camp was in a state of great activity. Ramsden and a French officer went to look at the cleft in the rock wall that we'd so recently descended. The prospect of taking 250 people and supplies up it was daunting, to say the least. But the Frenchman immediately began working out how it could be done with ropes and muscle power. First to go up would be Lieutenant Brzezinski and his 20 Poles, who would form a protective screen. Then the women and children would follow. Finally, the main body of men. And last of all, Sergeant Ryan's rear guard. Sadly, the mules which had brought the fugitives so far would have to be abandoned in the pass. Violetta, Kozatz, and myself were ordered to go up after the Poles, and a whisper in my ear from Horden told me that my job was to keep a close watch on the Yugoslav, just in case. The manner in which the French officer organized the climb was magnificent, and the operation began slowly but efficiently. By midday, I was able to look down the cliff face at the milling crowd below as they waited for their turn. I wondered if the ravine crossing would be as efficiently negotiated, but that was in the future. Then my mind turned to Sergeant Fritsch.
Herr Major, Sergeant Fritsch is here.
Ah, Fritsch, come inside. My, you look as though you've walked across the Sahara Desert.
Oh, Herr Commandant, it was much worse.
You blew up the passage.
It was not possible. We were ambushed by a patrol of Britishers. Weber and Lang were killed.
You mean the way is still open for the enemy to get over the pass?
Yeah, Herr Commandant.
Kozat, what happened to Kozat?
I can't be certain, but I think he was killed too.
I hope so. If the Britishers have Kozat, they will make him show them the way. Did you see his body?
I dropped down when a machine gun opened up on us. Kozat fell and his body rolled over, down into a gully.
And then what happened?
I decided my duty was to get back and report the incident.
Oh, this changes everything, Lieutenant Fraser. I must work on the presumption that the Englanders know how to get out of the pass. They are already doing so, I'm sure.
By late this afternoon, a mass assault could be mounted to overwhelm their rear guard. Then the column will be at our mercy.
Yeah, that must be done. Well, you did what you could, Fritsch. You did the right thing by reporting back as soon as possible.
If your permission, Herr Commandant, I have an idea how the enemy could be stopped.
Mm-hmm. How?
I have traveled the route twice and could guide a large force of men onto the heights above the pass.
Which is what should have been done in the first place. But would it not be too late?
Well, I think it would take the enemy 2 or 3 days to reach the passage over the pass. I think Sturmgruppen could reach it before they do.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense. What do you think, Weser?
I agree, Herr Major. Lieutenant Gorin could command such a group, and then...
No, Weser. I will command the group. Lieutenant Gorin can stay here with the equipment and keep the surrounding hills patrolled for partisans. He will send 2,000 men down the pass to reinforce Lieutenant Löber and order him to reach the enemy column at all costs.
Yeah, Major.
1,000 men will stay here at the head of the pass, and the rest will go with me.
Yeah, Herr Major. And what will I do, Herr Major?
Come with me, of course. Sergeant Fritsch, you will get yourself cleaned up, and I can allow you no more than 3 hours' sleep.
Yeah, Herr Commandant. That is sufficient.
Be off with you, then.
Jawohl, Herr Commandant.
Weser, I am afraid we have let matters get somewhat out of hand. Imagine the shame that will fall on us if the enemy escapes. It doesn't bear thinking about, does it? Perhaps we should have captured them instead of making truces. Heaven knows we had so many opportunities, yeah.
But had you done so, Herr Major, we would be facing the Russians at the Eastern Front by now.
Yeah, that is true, Weser. Well, now the game is over, and we must pursue them without mercy. Let us hope they did not capture Kozat and are still trapped inside the pass. Right, now to work.
Before half of our complement had reached the top of the cleft, Violetta, Kozat, and I began to lead our people up the steeply sloping ground, which would take us 1,000 feet higher. Men helped the women and children up the loose stony scree. A slow and dangerous process where one slip could bring tragedy in its wake. As the sky began to darken, the women and children reached the top. I had watched with amazement as Lady Agnes bustled about on the treacherous slope, helping here, helping there, with the sure-footedness of a mountain goat. For a squarely built woman of late middle age, dressed in a gray tweed suit, to have climbed unassisted so far was a near miracle in itself. But this left me speechless with admiration. Lieutenant Brzezinski's men had fanned out on the upper plateau, and they stood guard. Behind them, the group at the top of the slope grew larger until midnight, when everyone except our rear guard was on the plateau and safely camped. Major Ramsden was satisfied that his flock had reached the plateau. He reported to Colonel Horton.
100% success, sir.
Splendid, splendid. Our chaps did a sterling job. There were times I thought we were never going to succeed. That slope was a dash killer. Even worse than climbing up that confounded cliff.
Ah, but LaRue certainly knows his onions about mountaineering, sir. If it wasn't for him, most of us would be still waiting to climb up the slope.
Has he pulled up his ropes? Can't leave them there for the Germans, you know.
Well, I told him to wait for Captain Sanders' lot, sir, and then the ropes will be brought up.
Oh, of course, of course. Oh, dear me. What with all the excitement, I was forgetting about Sanders. I hope he's all right.
But personally, Colonel, it would have been as well to have left a small rear guard in the pass to convince Scheer's patrols that we're still there.
Oh, does it really matter now? Rather have our chaps on the higher ground to keep them at bay.
Yes, sir.
You don't seem entirely convinced, Ramsden.
Well, if Scheer's men come after us, we could still find ourselves in a pickle. They can move faster than we can, and if we're caught on the open ground, well, that's the end.
My dear Ramsden, you are an old pessimist. I think our Sergeant Ryan will know how to keep these Nazi blighters in their place.
We could find ourselves sandwiched, sir, if Scheer sends his men on the other way, and I think it's quite likely that he will.
Yes, yes, there is that factor to consider.
Far better to keep the SS down in the pass for as long as possible, thinking that we're still trapped.
Oh, dear me, this is frightfully complicated. A fellow wishes he was in a nice, comfortable chair in the operations room. You know, it won't be easy asking these chaps to stay down there, Ramsden. One could almost call it a suicide mission. I say, what about those wild Russians? They might like that kind of a show.
Well, perhaps Dmitri might be agreeable. The trouble is, we don't know where they are.
Oh, they're a weird lot.
The last message I received from Sanders merely stated that Dmitri seemed to be fighting a private war and they wanted to stay in the pass. For all we know, they could have been killed or recaptured.
Well, if they aren't, Dmitri and his chappies could be performing a jolly fine service. I mean, while they're harassing Scheer's patrols, he'll believe we're all still down there.
But we can't be sure, sir.
Oh, all right, Ramsden. Send a man down to tell Sergeant Ryan to stay in the pass for at least the next 24 hours. Then he can pull back and climb that cleft in the rock. By heaven, half a dozen men could hold that position for a week or more. Oh, yes, I know. Leave Dmitri in the pass and send a message for Ryan to climb the cleft and hold it for at least 2 days if the Germans try to climb it. It would be a damn silly waste of men if they tried. Does that meet with your approval, Major?
Good enough for me, sir. I'll send Jenks down to give Sanders the order.
Not Sanders. The order is for Sergeant Ryan, since he's been running the show all along. Order Sanders up here, where he can be of more use.
A few minutes before midnight, Dmitri stood between the double barricade of rocks which stretched across the pass. He waited for the return of Comrade Alexandre Nevesky, who'd gone out under cover of darkness to look at what the SS were doing round the bend in the pass. Dmitri's curiosity had been aroused by the flashing of lights, and even indistinct shouted orders had been carried to his ears along the still night air. At 1 minute to midnight, Nevesky returned and reported he'd seen massed lines of SS troops within the pass's narrow confines. It was obvious that a mass assault was imminent. In the few seconds he had left, Dmitri ordered his men into position. At precisely midnight, several flares were fired, and the 19 Russians saw massed ranks of trotting camouflaged SS troopers turning the bend and coming for them. Darkness was written by Ron Evans, produced by Yolan Dottman, and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Springbok 930 Dossier, dramatized for broadcasting and brought to you on Springbok Radio.